Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 9:18 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Bringing in Sage Rosenfels, as we do every Tuesday, to break down what your Texans did this past week. Sage, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on again.
We appreciate you being here. Let's talk a little bit about, so Tyrod's out a month, looks like. Tyrod Taylor, I tweeted out, you know, after the first few drives, I said, season to date, up so far, and not going any more than so far, Deshaun Watson couldn't have done any more than Tyrod Taylor has done for this team. Agree?
I've seen Tyrod Taylor play for a while now in this league, and I know the preseason is the preseason, but what I had seen from him so far this season, including the preseason, it's the best football that he has played in his career, in my opinion. Of course, I haven't watched every single game over his fairly lengthy career at this point, but really playing excellent football. And when he went out in this game, he had been playing great football. 10 of 11 passing, making things happen, not just through the air, but also with his legs, obviously, in the touchdown run. So a real bummer for the Texans team, but also a real bummer for him because he's been playing extremely well.
Yeah. What kind of job is Tim Kelly doing, the offensive coordinator?
I think he's doing a great job. This offense is, it does a lot of things. I think he moves guys around a lot. It does seem in this game, obviously, Brandon Cook seemed to be the guy they were either trying to get the ball to, or the ball just consistently went in his direction. But I think this offense is, it's not the coordinator who's preventing this team. It's not holding this team back. That's for sure. I think he's doing a good job of putting guys in position to be successful. And sometimes the offense just isn't functioning at the rate that it should. You can't have a quarterback who goes the wrong way in a couple different running plays. You can't have a taunting penalty by a tight end after he makes the catch to take back that gain and then put yourself in a long situation. And you can't have drop passes. So I think he's doing a really good job as a coordinator so far. Now, of course, he's working with a young quarterback, and he's going to have to put a game plan together that best fits Davis Mills' skill set.
As I'm watching the game, and I'm watching Tyrod Taylor stay on schedule, get through progressions, and get rid of the ball, it occurred to me, and you can speak specifically to this, that Tim Kelly, despite Deshaun Watson being the more talented quarterback, the guy that can help the offense run on time is actually Tyrod Taylor. Can you speak to the unique challenges you have of having a playmaking quarterback like Watson, but some of the negatives in terms of how plays will come off schedule prematurely?
Well, they're two similar quarterbacks, other than the fact that, in my opinion, when I watch Deshaun Watson play, he wants to try to push the ball down the field more aggressively than Tyrod Taylor. I'm not saying that's good or bad. He just likes to try to putty fit balls in smaller windows deeper down the field. Tyrod has a little bit more of that Alex Smith type of guy. He's a high completion percentage. He's not scared of a check down at all. He actually knows, based off of, I think, his coaching over his career, that check downs are good. I know it's not exciting for the fans. You'd like to have a quarterback who's constantly whipping the ball down the field and trying to make big plays happen, but most drives in the NFL, you have to earn them. They have to be 8, 10, 12 plays. And when the defense is playing deep, you have to throw short. So he does a really good job of making decisions quickly, understanding that deep 20-yard dagger or some post play that they may drip as a number one guy. If he's not going to be there, move on quickly and get the ball out so your offensive line doesn't have to sit and pass protect for 5 seconds. So I think Tyrod does a great job of getting the ball out, being very, very accurate on those shorter routes, obviously. And then when there's nothing there, he makes offensive linemen look better because he can scramble outside the pocket and either throw on the run or run for some sort of game. So he does a lot of things really well. Throwing 40-yard darts down the field is not something that is really part of his skill set, but that's fine. You can win a lot of games the way Tyrod Taylor is playing the quarterback position.
Well, now it's Davis Mills, and you mentioned some of his flaws. I think Tyrod Taylor made up for a lot If you don't have a running game, that was fine with Tyrod Taylor. If you don't have a running game, and it ain't going to be easy running against this Panthers team on Thursday night, Sage, Davis Mills is going to have, especially as their pass rush and everything else to go with this Panthers defense, this could be a long night on Thursday.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. You know, I'm interested to see what it's like for this young kid with his first start and obviously getting all the reps in practice. I'm not sure the offense will change all that much, but I bet they'll find things that they feel Davis does, you know, well, or what makes him more comfortable. You know, Tyrod's got so much experience just in the National Football League, understanding offense and defense. You're just naturally going to have sort of more in the game plan. Maybe it's more audibles or more looks in your offensive game plan, and I'm sure they'll hone it back a little bit. I think that it was actually very helpful that he got to play the second half of this ball game for this next game, right? To go in and not have any NFL experience and go and get a start, that can be very nerve-wracking. I've seen that before, and it hasn't always gone well. So the fact that he did get a half in this ball game, and he had some definite negatives. I said a couple of handoffs. I'm not sure what was going on there. It looked like to me it was the quarterback who had sort of gone the wrong way. First pass, looked like him and Brandon Cooks were on the same page. Of course, you see that interception. Looked like just sort of behind his receiver. But as the game went on, it looked like to me Davis Mills was more and more comfortable. And I think that's a nice way to go into this next game of him having some experience rather than just straight fresh from the rookie bench into the starting lineup. That can be a tall task for any young quarterback.
What do you think of the pass protection and then subsequently the way Mills handled the rush?
You know, I never really knew how good of an athlete Davis Mills is. And to be honest, I think he moves around pretty well. I thought the pass protection was pretty good in this game.
I did too.
You know, sometimes there's some leakage and quarterbacks have to move around a little bit. But, you know, quarterbacks, you're not statues back there. And when you watch quarterbacks around the league, almost all of them move around a little bit. Tom Brady, not much. Tom Brady moves about two or three yards just to get out of the way of people to then throw it. But most of the quarterbacks have to occasionally escape a pass rush and run around. And I thought Davis Mills did a pretty good job in this game. But, you know, for the most, and now, of course, Taylor did a good job in the first half. But I think for the most part, pass protection, that's not an issue on this football team. It's not a major issue on this football team. If you have a quarterback back there and you're behind and you're trying to throw the ball a lot, you're going to have pass protection issues in this league. And you know, the hardest thing to do in the National Football League is straight drop back pass, straight pass protection. You know, you want to run the ball. You'd like to do three step. You'd like to throw some screens. You like some RPO, get the ball out type of stuff. And you have to actually drop back 5 and 7 steps and hold on to the football. That's a really hard thing to do for any offense line in this league. And I thought for the most part, I thought they were all right in this game.
Well, and, you know, you just mentioned Tom Brady just moving a couple of a yard or two or three, whatever, in the pocket just to escape a pass rush. Tom Brady, you can't all-out blitz him because he's going to crush you. His hot read, he'll get rid of it in a hurry. What about, you know, a defensive coordinator now with the Panthers – looking at a rookie who, you know, quite possibly will miss, and you hide blitzes, you hide dogs, and you come after him. That's a little bit worrisome this week for Davis Mills. Is he going to be able to pick up those blitzes?
Yeah, I have a feeling that, you know, Carolina is going to show their hand fairly early in this game of how they want to attack this offense. Do they want to just sort of sit back and maybe a cover two or some sort of zone defense and sort of make the quarterback beat them, or do they want to pressure the quarterback, make him make a decision quickly? And the reason Tom Brady is so good, and there's a lot, of course, about 10 reasons he's a great player, but he recognizes defenses and what's going on the other side of the ball so quickly. So if it's zone, man, he knows right where to go with the football, who are the soft spots in that zone. When it's man, he knows who to get the ball to right away, so he's not taking two or three or four hitches back there while there's, you know, five offensive linemen blocking five rushers. He knows that all those one-on-ones, usually someone's going to lose, which means he has to get the ball out quicker. So it's interesting. It's going to be interesting what Carolina does if they want to force the issue with Davis Mills. Obviously, we saw the Sam Mike blitz in that game. Davis did not see it at all. Gets completely, I would say, blindside, hit right in the chest, fumbles the ball, obviously, and the Texans recover. So he has shown that he's still a little new to some of the blitzes in the NFL, and that was an easy one. That was your just classic Sam Mike blitz. The Will runs over to try to guard the area where those guys came from, the defensive end shot. That's really one of the simplest blitzes in the NFL, and Davis missed that one and missed it hot, and obviously that caused a fumble. So I got to think that Carolina will light him up and then probably try to play some sort of safety over the top of it. Looks like him after this game, Brandon Cooks, who seems to be the biggest threat in this Texans offense.
Yeah, absolutely. 14 catches already for 210 yards. Nice. All right, Sage is here for another segment. We will continue our conversation with him about this Texans team. But first, we're talking about meat. We're talking about Michael over at Pete's Fine Meats. We're talking about our friend. We're talking about a great guy. We're talking about a guy who's going to get you in that tailgate. He's going to get you with those chops. His ribs, excellent. He'll get you with the chops. I don't think we talk enough about pork chops and pork ribs. And I because we're worried so much about the steaks.
I once had a bone-in pork chop over there. I'd never had a bone-in pork chop. Well, I guess I had before, but I hadn't had it from Pete's Fine Meat.
Oh, okay.
And he had bone-in pork chops. You can get a tomahawk right now. They have tomahawks ready for you. If you're tired of ordering them at the restaurant, you think you cook a great steak, he's got them for you. Wagyu steaks, Wagyu briskets. Like, these are things that you're not going to be able to get at your local grocery store.
No.
You're just not.
If you're going to your grocery store for your meat and not going to see Michael, you're just not eating as good. It's a period, exclamation
point. That includes for your burgers, too.
Absolutely. The Tri-Blend is my favorite burger. The Wagyu burger is unbelievable. But he's got everything over there. He makes it all himself. His Italian sausages, Polish sausages, the bacon, all of this stuff. He just does it all himself, and you're going to love Michael. I'm telling you. He will vacuum seal it for you to put it in the freezer or whatever you want to do.
Yeah, get a big order and put some of it in the freezer.
That's it. And it's all every day. He's there. You'll love him. I'm telling you. It is the best place. I know, by the way, you want to have lunch? Great burgers there as well.
Don't forget the cookies.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. The cookies come out hot.
They are the truth.
So all you got to do is go to Pete's Fine Meats. It's at Richmond and Chimney Rock. You're looking for the best in meats. Go see Michael at Pete's Fine Meats.
Food and Rain Rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're locked into the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time now to look back at this past weekend's NFL action with former Texans QB Sage Rosenfels. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 9:34, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sage Rosenfels with us here. Sage, the Texans' defense was awful, awful, awful last year, so the bar is pretty low. But they've been playing much better. The takeaways have been remarkable. They had three interceptions all of last year. They've already surpassed that. So that's awesome. But they did wear down against the run in the two long drives. The Browns just ran it down their throats. Is this going to be a problem all year long, or is that a product of just the best running back duos in the game?
Well, you know, there's a lot to really actually talk about defensively in this football game. One, they just where they sort of missed in this game was, I guess, that sort of complementary style of football where they would do one good thing and then somehow sort of screwed up. You know, you get a sack on the first drive by Jacob Martin, and then you drop the punt, right? Sometimes special teams and defense sort of go hand in hand. So, you know, there's nothing worse than starting the game and you do a great job defensively, get off the field. Now it's the other team's ball in great field position, right? So that's a huge play in this ball game. And obviously, you know, they're coming back very next play. They hit a whole shot. The corner has to sink there, in particular on a tight end. You have to sink back and play it deep to short when you're going to play cover two. And then, of course, next thing you know, you're down 7-0. And I just don't know if the Texans are good enough all around as a football team to come back from too many of those, too many of should be a punt, next thing you're giving up a touchdown because of the special teams blunder. and a defensive blunder. So he did a lot of good things in this game. Obviously, the interception by Reed. I think Reed's playing, you know, very good football, whether it's that play or breaking up another play in there. He's obviously a very good football player. But at the end of the game, you're playing the Cleveland Browns, one of the best rushing teams in the National Football League. Kevin Stefanski does a great job with the scheme, also with the two running backs that they play. It's hard to stop a team that is that good, and you've sort of been worn down over the course of a football game. Of course, the offense not doing as much positive stuff in the second half. Defense has to be on the field more. And then Cleveland just sort of ran it down their throat, of course, most importantly on that big drive sort of at the end where the Texans needed to stop and they just couldn't do it. And I'm not going to make some grand assumptions based off of that drive or the second half. But I think the defense is doing a lot of good things, but over the course of the game, you just can't have as many mistakes as they had and then continue to try to stop a really good football team, really good offensive football team like the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, it's do you think – well, how much are you paying attention to the other side? Because I'm curious about Lovie Smith from a historical standpoint, what you've seen as a quarterback from how Lovie usually coordinates a defense and what to expect versus what he's doing with Houston. Is it pretty much – what you'd usually expect from Lovie Smith?
Well, you know, it's been a long time since I was playing the NFL against Lovie Smith defense. Obviously, he went to college, and now he's back. But he'd always been, and it looks like from what I see schematically, he's your classic Tampa 2 style of defense. And that is very much of a bend-don't-break style. You want to keep the ball in front of you again, like that, as I said earlier, on that hole shot. That corner in that style of defense has to do one of two things. Has to get his hands on the wide receiver, and this play is a tight end on the outside. You've got to get your hands on him to slow him down so the safety's not sitting back there with a two-on-one situation. A guy running down the middle, a guy right up the sideline, what's the safety supposed to do? So the details of this defense are really important, but more importantly, the pass rush is the key mm-hmm. to this style of defense. And you do have to have at least one, and of course you'd like to have two, you'd like to have one really good, if not premier, pass rusher to be successful in this scheme. You go back to the Tampa 2 style defenses in the past, all the way back to the Simeon Rice, which really was, you know, actual Tampa, to, you know, Jared Allen with the Vikings, to Dwight Freeney with the Indianapolis Colts. Those are all Tampa 2 style defenses that had great pass rushers, and you have to have that because the defense is going to break down at some point. You have to have some sort of defensive end get there as quickly as possible so the quarterback can't just sit back there and have all the time, though, because there are holes in this defense. It is very much a bend-don't-break style, but it can be very, very successful and very hard to go against because it is a challenge for offenses to go 12 or 15 plays down the field and score touchdowns. It just is. It's a hard thing to do. You'd like to get a big play here and there. You'd like to have a run pop or some sort of bootleg or play action go for a 70-yard touchdown, and this style of defense really prevents that. But there are details in it that this team missed a few times in this ball game, and it cost them. And one of those is probably just not getting enough pass rush on Baker Mayfield. You just got to get more because he probably had pretty good time back there. Of course, he runs around pretty good too and makes it when a defensive end or an interior guy gets there, he gets out of the pocket and even runs for a couple yards, which prevents a sack and prevents that pressure. But I think it's a good defense. It's a good style of defense. It's not a bad scheme. You have to really understand what the strengths and weaknesses are. And I think also, you know, Kevin Stefanski, who had coached against that style in practice for years, understands you want a quarterback who can get the ball out quickly, and he did that a lot in this ball game. Baker wasn't holding on to it too long because in that style, you want to get the ball out and get the ball to your playmakers and run a lot of screens against it. When you want to, the team is playing a lot of cover two, up the field pass rush, you want to run a lot of screens against that. And Kevin Stefanski caught about four or five of those in this ball game.
Yeah. You know, and Lovie, he's got to stunt more, and he did. I mean, Grizier Hill's sack was on a nice stunt.
He plays best getting downhill. Like, he's not a reactive linebacker.
No.
He is a proactive.
He's already got three tackles for loss.
Yeah, when you let him fire downhill, he's making plays. I mean, he's that kind of athlete.
And Lovie is scheming that because, like you said, they just don't. I mean, Whitney Merciless, Jacob Martin's their best pass rusher. And Emanuhu is probably right there with him. But those guys aren't going to be spectacular. So Lovey's going to have to design some stuff as opposed to have – he doesn't have a Simeon Rice, that's for sure.
Yeah, you have to get the players. And right now the Texans don't have that premier pass rusher guy that really fits the scheme. So he may change some things up and try to be more aggressive. You're more aggressive, and all of a sudden now your corners have to play more man-to-man coverage and do things that maybe aren't their strengths, because the corners in this type of scheme are good tackling corners, right? Guys that can play cover two and come up and tackle, even guys that can play more zone coverage and read and react rather than chase all day long in some sort of man-to-man type coverage. When you light people up with blitzes to try to get more pass rush, now you're talking about more man-to-man coverage, which may not be a strength for these corners. So, you know, that's the way it goes. You're trying to match scheme with player personnel, and you don't always get that right off the bat. Sometimes that takes 2 or 3 years with draft picks, with trades, with all sorts of things to get the right type of players to match the scheme. I'm going back to 2006 when I came to the Texans and Kubiak came there. You know, we didn't have a veteran premier pass rusher at that time. Of course, they drafted Mario Williams, who was just this rookie, extremely raw rookie, to try to fill in that position. Again, as we all know, it took a couple years for Mario to become a really good player. He really struggled his first year, but then after you got that sort of premier pass rusher in the mold there, something that the defense has really had to account for, then the scheme, more cover two scheme that our defensive ran back then, it was definitely more effective as we got more rush on the quarterback.
Yep. That's Sage Rosenfels. Before we let you go, really quick, Sage, are you watching Peyton and Eli?
I didn't see them last night. I saw them the first game, and, you know, brought back a lot of weird memories to me. Of course, being in the quarterback room with Eli in 2010 in New York and just knowing him as sort of well as I do, you really did get to see sometimes like what Eli is like just in a meeting room, whether it's just the quarterbacks talking or he, you know, he always had a meeting or two every single week with just the wide receivers. And after practice on Friday, on Wednesday or Thursday, was just with the running backs, where literally Eli ran the meeting and he was telling the running backs, okay, when we see this look, this is what I'm going to do. So for blitz protection, of course, receivers, he was talking more coverage, and you got to see some of that stuff, of course, you know, on that ESPN2 show. So I think it's really, really good. I think it's great that, you know, whether it's ESPN or Fox or whoever it is, CBS, to have this sort of second screen experience. It's always nice to watch a game and hear commentary, but a lot of people don't want to listen to, whether it's Chris Collinsworth or Joe Buck and Aikman or whoever it is, and they want that sort of second screen experience. And to have two brothers who I think we all can tell are actually pretty funny guys. Even Eli has this sort of quiet sarcasm to him that can be pretty funny. Of course, Peyton's got the sort of bigger personality, but to sort of watch them do their thing as you're watching a football game, it's fairly entertaining.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I watched last night. It was pretty good. That's Sage Rosenfels right here every week on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Man, we appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Thanks
Sage. For Sage. And now, Texas Custom Patios.
They've got an office in Houston. They've got one in Dallas-Fort Worth. So if you have friends or family members there, make sure they know about Texas Custom Patios. Within a year, they'll have one in Austin. They keep getting bigger and bigger, and here's the reason. Their workmanship is so much better than anyone else out there that they win awards across the state, and they continue to get, you know, and I have so many of you come back to me on Twitter and say, hey, who is that patio company? Who is that patio company? It's TexasCustomPatios.com. Go to the website, and you can start to take a look at some of the before and afters that they've done. And the chances are you'll see your space, what your space looks like, and what they can do for you. They've got patios, outdoor living spaces, patio covers, different outdoor fireplaces, outdoor kitchens, decks and pergolas, screen porches, room additions, balconies and railings. They do everything, and it's all done with a superior design and execution. Go look at the website and you'll be blown away. Financing's available, so you can truly get that extra space of your dream that you've always wanted to have. And you can do it with a company who does amazing work at TexasCustomPatios.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5.